Our scripture lesson this morning comes from Exodus, the 13th chapter, verses 17 and 18. And I don't know if you do this before you read the scripture on Sunday mornings, but if you wouldn't mind and if you're able, would you please stand out of respect for the reading of God's word? When Pharaoh let the people go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was nearer. For God thought, if the people face war, they may change their minds and return to Egypt. So God led the people by the roundabout way of the wilderness toward the Red Sea. This is God's word, and God always blesses the reading of his holy word. O Lord our God, now may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts together be acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our everlasting Redeemer. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So let me begin with a little bit of an interactive activity. Let me begin by doing a quick survey. How many of you have already had a chance to go on vacation this summer? Just raise your hands. Okay, a few of you. How many of you have had a chance to go on a vacation sometime in the last 6 months? Okay. How many of you have had a chance to go on a vacation sometime in the last 10 years? I think that pretty much catches everybody, doesn't it? Well, I've got one more question in the survey. How many of you have ever been on a vacation with your family, and that can be either one other person or a whole group of people? How many have ever had done that? Okay, again, most of us. Well, if you have done that, and as I say, most of us have done that, then you know that there is almost always one question that is asked. And it usually starts being asked about 20 minutes after you pile into the car and head out the door. It's a question that gets asked repeatedly, about every 10 minutes until you reach your destination. Anybody know what that question is? Are we there yet? That's exactly right. Now, usually the question is asked by the children, but this is not always the case. Sometimes the question can be asked by the person sitting next to you, say by your spouse. It is a question that is not intended to annoy you, although it almost always annoys you. Unless, of course, it is asked by the person sitting next to you, say by your spouse. And then it is absolutely intended to annoy you. And as you know, there is the answer to that question is almost always the same. Nope, not there yet. Still going to be a while. In fact, it's going to be hours. In fact, if you ask that question one more time, I'm going to make sure it takes us decades to reach our destination. By the way, if the person asking the question is your spouse, that's not usually the best response to make. Of course, we know that the question is not just asked in the car, is it? It is a question that is asked in all sorts of different circumstances by all sorts of different people. Sometimes it's a question that the whole world asks. As you know, over the last 14, 16, 18 months or so, we've been dealing with COVID. And the whole world has been asking the question, are we there yet? Have we got this thing under control? And as you know, for a while it looked like we did. It looked like all of the numbers were going down. The statistics were good. It looked like we were about to get it under control. And then in the last 2 or 3 weeks, the Delta variant has begun to spike. And so the authorities have to say, nope, not there yet. Still going to be a while. Sometimes it's a question that even the church asks. Almost every church I know is waiting for something, waiting for the budget to be met, waiting for a building program to be completed. And if nothing else, almost every church I know is waiting for the fulfillment of the kingdom of God when we can all live in peace with one another. Are we there yet? Nope. Not yet. It's still going to be a while. As the Bible presents it, the question, are we there yet, is actually a deeply spiritual and a deeply theological question because it deals with one of the most common of all human experiences, the problem or the challenge of forced patience. And this, you will remember, is what the writer of the book of Exodus was dealing with in that brief passage that we read together a moment ago. The children of Israel had been in bondage in Egypt, and God had seen their afflictions, and so God sent Moses to Pharaoh to demand the freedom of the people, and then after they were free, to lead the people of Israel into the promised land. And at first, you remember, Pharaoh was reluctant, and so through a series of plagues, God used Moses to convince the people to convince Pharaoh to let the people go. But then we read this, we read how when God did let them go, God did not lead them by way of the land of the Philistines, although that was shorter, but God led them the roundabout way of the wilderness. Now, it's kind of interesting because Egypt was only about 200 miles from the promised land. And if the people or the children of Israel had traveled the well-known route of the Via Maris, the way of the sea, and if they had traveled approximately 6 or 7 miles each day, it would have taken them just a little over a month to go from Egypt to the promised land. Instead, we're told that God led them the roundabout way of the wilderness, and the dream of entering the promised land had to be put on hold for 40 years. Now, if you have ever had to travel the roundabout way, and as I say, chances are good that you probably have because it is one of the most common of all human experiences, then you also know that it is one of the most difficult of all human experiences. Maybe for you, the roundabout way had to do with a dream. You had a dream and you looked forward to the fulfillment of that dream. But the months turned into years and the years turned into decades, and now the dream is just sort of a wilderness. Or maybe for you, the dream involved a relationship. One day you stood at the altar of the church and said, "I do," and you were just sure that that was going to be the beginning of a happily ever after. But then over the years, you learned that marriage can sometimes be hard. Sometimes it can be really hard. Sometimes it can be really, really hard. Maybe like me, you yearn for the day when the church will be a dynamic Christian community of fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. And in your mind, you can see it. You can see people coming to church and excited about being at church. And even if they disagree with one another about issues like homosexuality or abortion or politics or you name it, they still love one another and they still support one another and they're still the church together and they're still in ministry with one another. But instead, you see people go on social media and they just kind of dig at one another and dig at one another and dig at one another. And the dream becomes a wilderness. If nothing else does it, the spiritual life can put you in touch with the roundabout way. It's not uncommon when people first come to faith in Jesus Christ for them to be excited about their faith to the point to where they just can't even get enough of church. God just allows them to go through this wonderful and this glorious time where they can't get enough of Sunday school or Bible studies or listening to the preacher preach. Okay, maybe not that last part so much. But all the, they're excited about it. But if you stick with it long enough, God will also allow you to go through another time. A time that St. John of the Cross called the dark night of the soul. And Reinhard Kuhn called the demon of noontide. It's that time where even when everything else is going well in your life, your soul has no life in it. Your prayers don't seem to get above the ceiling, and your whole spirit is as dry as the desert. Now, why? Why do you suppose God allows us to go through these times? Why does God allow us to travel the roundabout way? Why not the short way? The writer of Exodus says, "For God thought, if the people have to fight and face war, they will run back to Egypt." You see, the Via Maris was also known as the land of the Philistines. It was filled with all sorts of Egyptian fortifications, and God knew that the people were not yet prepared for what they were going to encounter. In other words, God knew that there were some lessons that they needed to learn in the wilderness before they would be prepared to enter the promised land. And personally, I'm convinced that sometimes the reason God allows us to go the roundabout way is because there are some lessons we need to learn in the wilderness. For example, one of the lessons you can learn from the roundabout way is that the most important things in life take time. We live in a culture that demands everything instantaneously. Fast food, express lanes, instant oatmeal, you name it. We want it all and we want it now. And while there are some things that can be had quickly, while there are some things that you actually need to push along if you're going to get anything done, the most important things, the deepest things, the values that make life worth living take time, don't they? Take spirituality. You don't learn things like deep faith, hope, humility, forgiveness, or loving your enemies immediately. Those things take time. Take Christian community. That doesn't happen overnight. It takes being together. It takes being involved with one another in worship and in Sunday school and in Bible studies and in small groups. It takes rubbing shoulders with one another. And I know COVID's made that difficult, but it takes getting your hands dirty with one another in matters of ministry. It takes being there for one another when times are tough. And it takes celebrating with one another at things like baptisms and graduations and weddings. And all of that takes time. Take love. Shortly before, in fact, 2 weeks before my wife and I married, I was appointed to my very first church. Actually, it was a circuit of three churches. And in one of the churches, there was a couple by the name of Dot and Herschel Harris. They were in their 80s, and they had a hard time getting around. Dot had to help Herschel, and Herschel had to help Dot along the way. They just were having a very difficult time. And I guess it was maybe 6 months, a year after I was appointed to that church, and Carol and I were married. We celebrated what I think was their 65th wedding anniversary, and it was just a small church, and it was a glorious celebration. We just had a wonderful time. Well, after the service was over, everybody had gone home except for Herschel. Even his wife, Dot, they lived just across the street, so she walked across the street home. Herschel was the designated custodian of the church. They didn't pay anybody for that. He was just the designated person, and he was there. Anyway, we were standing at the door of the church. And as a relative newlywed, I was pretty impressed, about 65 years. And I said, Herschel, tell me, how have you been able to make it all of these years? And he paused for a moment. How would you answer that if you'd been married that long? But he said, Dan, I tell you, it's like this. You got to know when to talk and when to get up and take a walk. Well, I thought that was pretty good advice then. And I still think that's pretty good advice today. But here's the thing. They had such a deep love for one another that had been carved out of a lifetime of experiences, both good and bad. And I remember thinking then, and I've thought it many, many times through the years, I hope that one day Carol and I can get to that kind of love. 2 weeks ago, we celebrated our 45th wedding anniversary, so we're on the way, but we've still got a ways to go. J. Wallace Hamilton once said, what we get too quickly, we esteem too lightly. Kathleen Norris put it this way, the long way around is the shortest way home. And what they were both saying is that the most important things in life take time. The other important lesson we can learn from the roundabout way is that God can be trusted. This is at the very heart of what this passage is all about. God, you remember, had done some amazing things in delivering the children of Israel out of the bondage of Egypt. Almost unbelievable things. Old story, one Sunday afternoon, a couple of parents were talking with their son, their little boy, and they asked him what he learned in Sunday school that morning, and he said, boy, was it exciting. This morning we learned that Moses organized the children of Israel into a resistance movement, and then they developed a plan, and they broke free from their slave masters, and they drove jeeps, half trucks, and 18-wheelers as fast as they could toward the promised land. But Pharaoh's army didn't get up through radar. He tracked them down, and he fired missiles at them, and he sent jets to fly over and shoot at them. And about that time, they got trapped by the Red Sea, so the Corps of Engineers came in and built a pontoon bridge, and the people escaped over to the other side of the Red Sea. And just as Pharaoh's army was crossing over, the Hebrew people blew it up, and all of the people escaped to freedom and lived happily ever after. And the parents were a bit stunned. And they looked at their son and they said, did you really learn that in Sunday school this morning? He said, no, but if I told you what they told me, you would never believe it. Well, God had done some almost unbelievable things. But you know what? The children of Israel still didn't trust God. I think it's something like 10 times after the Red Sea, we read in the book of Exodus that the people cried out to Moses and complained that it would have been better if they were still back in Egypt. And so God had to teach them that when they grew hungry, he would provide manna in the wilderness for food. When they were thirsty, God would provide water. And when they needed direction, when they didn't know which way to go, God would provide a cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night to show them which way to go. The roundabout way is not easy. It will challenge you to the very core of your being. But if your heart remains open, you will learn that God can be trusted. I know sometimes we look around right now and it appears as if the whole world is going straight to you know where. We see violence on the rise, racial tensions in our streets, an attack on our nation's capital, family and friends who have loved each other for years, divided over religion and politics, and even the church, even the United Methodist Church, is fighting with itself. I know we can look at all of this and it can seem so discouraging. Candidly, sometimes it's discouraging to me. But the thing we must never forget, is that this is not the end of the story. God is still at work. Sometimes in ways we can't see, sometimes in ways we can't even imagine. And God is still leading us forward despite our sins and our failures and our mistakes. God is still leading us forward. Sometimes it's only inch by inch. Sometimes it is three steps forward and two steps back. But God is still leading us forward. And the good news is that God can be trusted and you can be sure that one day we are going to reach the promised land just as surely as the children of Israel did. Or as the Apostle Paul put it, I am convinced that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Jesus Christ. Are we there yet? Nope, not yet. It's still going to be a while. But oh, dear friends, when we get there, when the kingdom of God is fully realized, oh, what a glorious day it will be. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.